an ID Master Dupe the 60, the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. It's a tape of the interview, tape 2, with Beulah Kuo. And noise reduction is in with graphic equalizer, but it will take very careful listening, possibly with earphones.
I should probably bring two tapes. This is an interview with Beulah Kuo at her home, 1906 Redcliff, on August 14th, 1979. Mrs. Kuo, you mentioned last time that, when we talked about Chinese school, you had mentioned that they didn't know how to teach Chinese in those days. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, I mean that the traditional method of teaching Chinese language is through rote, and I really don't know how much you can learn that way. It's the traditional Chinese method that has been handed down from generation to generation. And when we were children, we were, of course, made to go to Chinese school, and the children would go there and do memory work mainly. So there wasn't that kind of motivation as to how relevant the language is for them. Mm-hmm. And I think they've improved on the methods a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I haven't had any children in Chinese school, but yes, I did. We started a class at Mandarin and Cantonese for our children when they were young, and it was mainly conversational Chinese. And I think that's far more valuable than using a textbook and just memory words
mm-hmm.
on the textbook.
It was that's just memorizing Chinese characters?
Right. And some of the classics and characters, and learning how to hold a brush, and learning how to write. I would rather have learned how to read a newspaper, for instance. That would have been far more valuable. But I didn't go for that long.
Mm-hmm.
I went for just a couple of years
mm-hmm.
after school. And so many of the children just go there to play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that.
And many discipline problems, and the children would run back and forth. They'd have fights with each other and with the teacher. So it really was not a good learning process,
mm-hmm.
I thought.
Mm-hmm. So your children have gone to, have had a Chinese education?
Very little. When they were about maybe 10 and 6, 10 and 7 or 7 and 11, we try to organize some Saturday classes using our church building. And they went once a week. But this went on for just about a year or so. And there was very little they were. However, my son went to Hong Kong after his graduation from UCLA and stayed for about 6 months. And he tried to learn Cantonese.
Mm-hmm.
Not too successfully. But I think he understands some of it, and
mm-hmm.
he uses a little of it in his people words.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
my daughter, of course, majored in Mandarin for 4 years, so she can read and write some Chinese.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. How far back in TV and stage history have topics regarding Asian Americans been viewed by the American public?
You mean as drama?
Right. As in the kinds of things that you have done, the public affairs show or the drama,
yes.
Too. I'm asking about both.
All right. I'll start with public affairs. I think it was about 68, 69 that the first public affairs show on Asian Americans was aired. And prior to that, I think there has been very little done on it. And it was mainly because of the civil rights movement and the black movement from the licensing of television stations, the affirmative action program that started in the 60s that started this whole movement among the network to institute public affairs shows, including the blacks and the Chicanos and the Asian Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the Asian Americans are always the last topic that we would pick up. So I would say no sooner than that. Then as far as drama is concerned, Asian American topics did not come along until, I would say, about the 1970s. The blend of that.
You think for some reason?
And still now, there have been very few Asian American topics on television, and as film topics, very little, very little. More often than not in the past, in the 40s, they were topics dealing with the China, or Chinese character, that is a creation of the imagination, or they were tied up with political topics, like the Fu Manchu and Charlie Chan. Those are not Asian American topics, so to speak.
So would you say your role in TV and in stage a lot has been to sort of make the American public more aware of the Asian American
I would think that would be my quest. Now whether I have been able to fulfill those that push that type of image forward remains to be seen. I've done a few better roles this past 2 years, but again, they were not Asian American roles. Now, let me elaborate. For instance, in the one of the best roles that I've done is this Edward Salvager, A Meeting of the Mind. And of course, I was playing the Chinese Empress. Then on Samurai, I was playing a Japanese woman who's not Japanese American to begin with, but she was a Japanese heiress from Japan. So I don't consider that an Asian American subject. Then in An Apple and Orange, I was portraying a British Chinese woman who was an immigrant. And again, that is not dealing with an Asian American topic. So other than that, I really can't think of many other Asian American topics that I've done, except in my hosting and in my producing.
What's needed? In your mind, would be needed to change this too, so that there are more topics and more Asians involved?
If we can get writers aware of the fact that the Asian Americans, especially the Chinese and the Japanese and the Koreans, not to mention maybe the Koreans or the Filipinos, but because the Chinese and the Japanese are the oldest among the Asian Americans, if we can get them aware of the fact that the Chinese Americans and the Japanese Americans have been here now for 5-6 generations, and that we are not Chinese Chinese, but we are Chinese Americans, and we're Japanese Americans, we're Filipino Americans and Korean Americans, and that we have a culture and a history of being Asian American for so many generations, for over 100 years, let's say. And if they can deal with that, I would say, then we have arrived at the point where they're really dealing with Asian Americans, but not Asian Asians. Now, there's one more role that I play in China Girl, and that is in How the West Was Won. And again, that was with a new immigrant situation, but that was beginning to deal with an Asian American subject, because my son and my daughter were new immigrants, but they were beginning to face the conflict of being in a new situation. But that was it. The time of that picture was 1869, and here we are in the 1970s, and no one really has effectively come up with a script dealing with an Asian American subject on film or on television, that is drama. Now, I can only think of two subjects that have really dealt on television with Asian Americans, and that is Farewell to Manzanar, which dealt with the relocation problem in the concentration camp during World War II, and Wakako Yamauchi's play, on television dealing with a Japanese, two Japanese families in the 1930s. And these were first generation and second generation problems.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I can't think of another topic.
Mm-hmm.
And those were written by Japanese Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And sold to television.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this whole topic has been completely neglected and no one really knows how to write it. And that's why I feel that we need good Asian American writers to write those topics. And so far, there hasn't really been enough Asian American writers who have broken through with a good, exciting piece of drama that has sold to television, except this one. And the social dance, that's the only one I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not a commercial station.
Mm-hmm.
It was on Channel 28.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's very, very unfortunate. And until we get those subjects on commercial television and on prime time, the general public will still view Chinese as something foreign, and Japanese as something foreign, and Koreans as something foreign and exotic.
Mm-hmm.
And Filipinos as exotic and foreign. And of course, you see, now the situation has been complicated by the fact that you are getting many Asian foreigners coming into the country who are foreigners, who are first generation. And the unknown white public looks at an Asian as a foreigner still. That's the unfortunate situation about it.
Mm-hmm.
Very few make that separation, that there are foreign Asians and that there are Asian Americans who've been here for six generations and they're as American as apple pie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you give me some ideas on the kinds of topics that are still in need of being covered as far as Asian American topics and besides the traditional topics of, you know, the immigrants and
mm-hmm.
gold mines, people mm-hmm. coming here to
many interesting Asian American topics. Family conflicts that are universal, only colored by the fact that Asian Americans have a little different cultural institutional background. And I think that problems and divorces would be equally interesting on how the fabric of the Asian American family is beginning to fall apart, just as they are in the Italian family, in the Irish family, in the Filipino family and the Chinese family.
Mm-hmm.
I think topics like that would be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
If it can be done well and truthfully.
Mm-hmm.
And portrayed well. And I think many of our Asian American writers are beginning to scratch into that area. And yet, many of the producers on television will think, well, that's not universal. That's not interesting. And it's too localized. And they won't buy it, you see.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Or they might say, what's so special about the Asian American experience
right,
as opposed
right.
to the Jewish
right,
experience?
Right. But you see, that's where a good writing comes in. You can have a Jewish experience, you can have a Chinese experience, you can have an experience like that in the social dance, where two families go through the depression. But other people can relate to it. An Italian family can relate to it. And a white family can say, hey, my family went through those difficulties during the depression too. And that's what I mean. It's got to have a universal appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Or, say, a retarded child in a family struggling to make his way in the world. It could be of a Asian background.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be just as universal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Getting into the TV business or into stage, is that, in all its various aspects, is that really a career choice that is open to Asian Americans now?
It's a career choice that's open, yes, but very limited opportunities.
Why is that?
Always limited opportunities. Well, I think the number one is the general community would say, well, because the Asians form only 1% of the total population, so they're not interested in seeing anything Asian. Only that which is exotic. And I think the Asian Americans have gone through that stage already. They don't want to be exotic. They want to be Asian American. They want to be American. And on stage, still even the parts are limited, even though that through certain camouflage, you could probably portray anyone, but that hasn't come across. And it's still this racism and this racial discrimination pattern and this very sensitivity to color that we have developed in American history.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes through film, and
mm-hmm.
that goes through with television and film, and motion pictures.
How about working backstage or behind the scenes?
Now, there is
Asian American.
I would say there are less sensitivity to color there. If you're good as a technician, you will be hired whatever color you are, if you're that good. Now, I can't say that for all colors, but I say that for Asian Americans. That if you're good in your field of technician, they finally would respect you. And I think maybe you would have a harder beginning, but once you've proven yourself that you're excellent in your field, then I think that you would go as far as you can. And one example is Jimmy Van Howe, who regardless of his color, if Jimmy were black here, or if he were Indian, if he were Chicano, he would still have made it to where he is.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
well respected by the career.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, take yourself for example, were treated differently because you were Chinese in matters of getting a job or promotion or whatever?
I think so.
Differently in what way? Better or worse?
Because I am an Asian, and the face makes a lot of difference because I do most of my work before the camera. And I'm sure that if I were a character woman of my caliber, and if I were white, I would have got many, many, many more votes.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that would have been true. But I'm very limited as to what roles I can play because of my color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, you excuse me, and I will close.
Mrs. Cole, there aren't very many Chinese actors and actresses that have actually made it as well-established, well-established in the field,
mm-hmm.
but you are one of them.
I'm not so sure sometimes, although I've been in it for a long time.
Yeah.
There just isn't that many, aren't that many roles, you know, and I wish I could be working all year, but they come and they go a couple of times a year and sometimes not at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And of course, up to my stage, as I've reached this level, I don't want to do these little bits and two-liners and the three-liners.
Mm-hmm.
But unless somebody either writes for you or they just happen to be an Asian character role,
mm-hmm.
Then I just don't work. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's why it's very frustrating sometimes. Even though I don't have to depend on it for a living, you want to flex your muscles and you want to create
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Mm-hmm. Did you find that there were any special difficulties that you had to overcome in order to make it as a Chinese actress?
Training-wise, or what do you mean? When you say difficulties, do you mean technically, as an actress, or meeting the public, or meeting with the studios, or just what aspect?
Well, I didn't have any particular
mm-hmm.
aspect in mind. I was just thinking of difficulties a Chinese actress would encounter that other American
yeah.
actors and actresses would not
mm-hmm.
have to put up with or face.
Well, I think we can start with the family. My family never put up any objections. In the traditional Chinese family, your parents usually don't want you to be a stage worker or going into the arts or going into acting. And of course, I came by it after I had gotten my education. But I'm sure if I started out as a teenager and told my parents that I want to become an actress, they would have put up a barrier and they would have put up a fence. And I'm sure they would disapprove because the Chinese tradition of your child going into the arts means that you just don't earn anything and then there's no status to it. So since I had got my college education and had started teaching, and then I came into acting by accident, there was no great difficulty from that then. Then I would say being accepted as a professional actor may have taken some time among my friends because I started in on it as more of an avocation and not a real vocation. And so I think maybe that may be considered a difficulty.
Accepted by Chinese friends or
just friends? Any friends. And because professionally I wasn't trained as an actor. And then when I got into it and treated it seriously, then I went and I got additional training in it. So I think that building your status as an actress has been difficult. Building my status as an actress has been difficult from several standpoints. That number one, from the fact that there are so few roles that you don't get a chance to build up a career. That has been most difficult. And it's only because I had the tenacity to stay in it. And I suppose if you've been into something for 25 years, then you can call it a career. Whereas, let's say, a Caucasian woman, a non-Asian woman, may have the same aspiration, and it would have taken her less time to get where I am because the opportunities are there.
Okay. What did you think of the way the Chinese were portrayed in the movies back in the earlier days, back in the movies of the 20s and the 40s, 50s?
Chinese women? Or
just Chinese, the way Chinese were portrayed.
Well, as I told you the last time, Hollywood is 50 years behind in their portrayal of Asians and Chinese. And I still feel that even in the 40s, the Chinese were always portrayed more often than not as exotic objects. And they were not treated as human beings who had problems. And when you have an Asian in the show, more often than not, they were there to add color. They were not there as a person. They were there to give color, or they were there to lend a certain atmosphere, or they were there, if it's a woman, to lend exotic or beauty to the program. And not so much treated as a real human being who had a problem to be dealt with and dealt with dramatically, which is unfortunate. And that has been a hangover, and to this day is still very much the same way.
Only recently, would you say, has there been
The Asians have not protested that until recently, let's say that. They haven't protested that until the last 15 years, I think. I would say, even looking over the span of movies, let's say films, there was much more work for the Chinese performers in the 40s and in the 50s than there is now. There's less work now, really, for the Asian actors. That's what.
Okay. We touched upon this question a little bit, but I'll ask it again. Do you feel that you were accepted by the non-Chinese? This in a much more general category.
In the acting business?
In acting.
In acting. Yes, I think so. Now, by the studio people or by directors and producers or my fellow actors or what level?
Different levels for this. By the people who would be your peers, I suppose.
Yes, I would say so. I think that I was accepted. It's all based on the quality of your work, I think.
Would you say that being accepted by the non-Chinese is one measure of success? Or, you know, success in making it in American life?
I don't know whether that is a right way of measuring success. I think you can be accepted and still be a failure in your illness, you know. It all depends on the person's personality. And I think that being accepted as an equal peer depends on the quality of your work. That I would say. If you're accepted as an equal and if you're accepted as an equal worker, then it's the measure of success, possibly, and if they respect your work. But in our business, it's very fleeting, because you can meet a fellow actor and work with her for 5 minutes in one scene, and you'll never work with them again. It's that very fleeting kind of a type of business. And also, I don't think that I measure my worth in terms of being successful or unsuccessful. I measure my worth in terms of growth, my own measurement of my own growth, you know. And if I have a role in which I felt it was a challenge and in which I felt that I created the character, and whether I myself grew artistically in that character, then it's a self-satisfaction. I never measure my work in terms of success or failure.
Okay. Now some questions regarding social aspects. In your leisure time, did you associate mostly with people you knew from work?
No.
Or
I would say my social life. My closest friends are people who went to college with me, and people who share same social concerns in the community, I think. Those are my closest friends. And then I do have a lot of fellow Asian actors and actresses who are friends socially. But we started out with a similar cause thing. But most of my social friends are friends that my closest friends are friends from my college days and people who went to school with me.
Would they be Chinese or non-Chinese?
Many of them are Chinese. I would say that maybe part of them are Chinese. And then my Western friends, my non-Asian friends, are friends that I have met through all walks of life, in church, through social agencies. A few went to college with me. A few who are in the arts, I'd say.
Okay.
And a few who are neighbors. Neighbors. Regardless of what they do.
Okay. In all the various places in the States, you basically lived in Stockton and then Los Angeles, Stockton, Oakland, Los Angeles.
Right.
Okay. In these three places, did you often keep in touch with Chinatown, or did you feel any particular ties to Chinatown in these three places?
Yes, I would think so. I've always kept ties to Chinatown in some of the social groups in Chinatown, some of the concerns of Chinatown. So when I lived in Stockton, I was connected with the Chinese Center, which was a Christian mission, really. But it was interesting in that center, all of our social activities took place. And the young people who grew up in Stockton, in my town, all had their social activities kind of surrounded through the church and affiliated through this church.
Mm-hmm.